Hey, America.
Start listening now.
We're together again.
Yeah. Yay. Hey, guys, check it out. We are in the new issue of Vision Magazine.
Yeah, you can see it right here.
And then on page 72, the 10 essential Bucks Fizz songs. So screw our article.
Derek, roll it.
That one just now, that is my favorite Bucks Fizz song, I think. Is that on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, in any case, welcome to another essential episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. Yeah, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
Nice.
Oh, man. I knew I was forgetting something.
This is why we prepare.
It's why you prepare.
Fair enough, yeah.
He left his from America at the office.
That's, yeah. From the office in America, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's our show, everybody.
Yeah, that was great.
As you could hear from the wonderful urban sounds outside, we are recording from Danny's artsy loft.
Yay!
Yeah!
In that no man's land between Minneapolis and St. Paul, where you don't quite know which of the two twin cities you're in.
Yeah. This place is ridiculous, man. This is like the apartment from New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Like, for real. This is wild.
The ceilings are 10 feet tall, and there's exposed brick. It's everything you wanted in an artist loft when you were, I'll say, 16 years old.
I still want it.
I'm living the dream life!
There you go.
Speaking of the dream life, Sam, hit it with the socials!
Hey! You can experience the dream life with us on social media at 12pointsUSA on either Facebook or Twitter. You can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If your podcast purveyor of choice allows you the opportunity to like, subscribe, give stars, give reviews, please do. We would love to hear your feedback, especially if it's positive, because we like our egos stroked.
Yeah!
Yeah, stroke us. Wait. Anyway.
Awkward silence.
Yes.
It's about the quality of the stroke, not the quantity.
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What is our... Do we have a little... We do have a little bit of news.
We do. Before we do that, though, we have a burning question. We're bringing him back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Burning questions are back, everyone. And this one's from... Oh, boy. It's from Ross Middleton.
Oh, dear.
Our pal Ross, and he asks, what one thing have you missed about this unusual season? This would have come in before our, contest and the coronation of Måneskin and so forth. But yeah, what have you missed about this unusual season? Could be a specific national final, an artist, a host, a style of music, anything.
Well, there are two things, really. First thing, I miss the Portuguese language. Just because, you know, I'm a sucker for anything Portuguese. It's just my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the crazy open audition process that we used to see from Belarus. You know, we all know that Belarus was problematic this year, but in happier times, they would not only have a really, really crazy national final, but they would have a sort of open call, like this sort of cattle call of anybody.
If you are in line, you can perform.
Right. And it would be streamed online, and it was moments like that that we got to see things like Potato, Potato, Acabulba.
Mm-hmm.
And these incredible, incredible moments that we just didn't get to see this year because Belarus went in a different direction.
They sure did.
Yep. So, yeah, I would have to say I miss the Portuguese language and Belarus just being the Belarus that I used to love them for.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't thought about potato in ages. Let's play a clip. Potato, potato, acabulba, 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 potato.
I'll say the thing that I miss most, and this is it's something that will only be true of this year, is I miss the excitement that came with, you know, getting a new act from every single country. It was a little bit like we sort of knew what to expect from a lot of these artists because they were returning, because we had already heard what they could give us from last year. I miss the excitement of every single country bringing something new and exciting and bad and terrible. Or excellent.
Sometimes both.
But instead, we had how many returning acts this year?
It was like 26.
60%? Yeah.
Yeah.
26.
An entire finals worth of worth of acts were returnees. Yeah. Which, not to say, like, we do get returning acts in other normal years, but they often will go through the process. They'll The, you know, the announcement of, hey, this person's coming back is often a wonderful surprise. You know, see, you know, Serhat, ooh, what are you doing here?
But the announcement of, you know,
right,
Tom Lieb not coming back was what? Greeted with much rejoicing.
Yeah, my, like, big playlist of songs from the 2021 cycle is, like, half the size of the one from 2020, just because there weren't a ton of national finals. A few in particular that I think I missed. As someone who was not a big fan of Voda, I missed Slovenia having a chance to send something maybe a little bit better. Australia's national final. Dami Im was going to be in this year's national final apparently. And will probably be there next year, but we didn't get that. Ukraine always has a great, great, great show.
Yeah, Vidbir.
We didn't get that. And, just more songs.
It's you now.
What do I miss?
You know, Derek was actually very pleased about this contest this year.
Got everything I wanted. I don't really care.
Yeah, an Italy victory, because we know how much you love that song. And yeah.
Sitting at home.
Sitting at home, that was the best. Waking up at 3 a.m. to watch the rehearsals. Only did that on the first day, just because it was worth it. Same thing. This is going to be silly. I missed the audience. I just watching everybody perform against an empty room. I mean, they did a good job kind of editing it and speaking around, but just it's always fun when they kind of go up to the edge of the stage and people are waving their flags and freaking out, and you can kind of see them feeding off of that energy. And I think there's a handful of artists this year that really would have responded well to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Others kind of made do and said, nope, this is a TV show and that's all we're going to do now. And it worked fine, but you know, misses a little bit of that kind of fun element I thought was missing.
They should have just superimposed a couple inflatable hammers.
Just those cardboard standees they use during rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think would have benefited from a larger audience? And who do you think, I guess, maybe benefited from there not being as much of an audience?
Hurricane, definitely.
On the same note, I think San Marino might have done much better, too. Especially going last.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think the audience would have been absolutely just blissed out by that performance.
Yeah.
If they would have been right up there. And instead, who was right up there? Just a bunch of acts who had already gone.
Yeah.
Who do they get to stare down 10 feet from them? It's John's Tears.
Yeah.
You know, he loves this song.
Iceland, if they had been, you know, able to perform live, I think they also would have fed off that pretty well, too.
Yeah.
I think the Finland and Italy, I think, would have had really good audience responses.
Mm. Yeah, there's a bunch where it's just like, they did as well as they could have done, but I feel like they would have just, you know, high tide rises all boats, I think.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I mean, reversing who benefited or who did well without an audience, I mean, France, I think, did exceptionally well. They embraced the isolation theme, John's Tears.
Mm-hmm.
Switzerland, I think, did pretty well alone. I'm trying to think of people who qualified.
Victoria, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Hers was pretty.
Do you think so?
Having the intimacy and that sort of closeness. Yeah.
That she benefited from having that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I don't know if this is how much this would have helped, but I think Ireland would have done better with an audience, too.
I think so, too.
When they pull out and you see the props and she kind of goes out on the stage and it's like, there's no one here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is missing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, it came off as like it was staged just to be in camera.
Yeah.
That's how it kind of came off.
It kind of reminds me, like in a perfect world, if Ireland had the audience, it reminds me a little bit of the staging for Heroes, where it was so focused on the effects, the projection, the little balloon boy. And then at the very end, when it turns around and Mullins is, you know, surrounded and a little bit closer to the audience and really feeding off of that, you kind of get the full experience. You know, I think Ireland could have done something similar. I agree with you.
I think that's what they were expecting with that song, too.
Yeah.
It's funny they didn't change it. It seemed like when the camera pulled out during the rehearsal, you do see some of the audience space. And I thought, there's no one there, guys. You need to change this.
You need to keep it in.
Yeah.
The cameras can't be more than 20 feet from Leslie.
At all times.
But yeah, great question from Ross. Definite friend of the show, friend of ours. Follow him at Piff Paff Blog for some great, great content if you're not doing so already. He's hilarious.
Yes, and if you can't remember the name, just set it to the tune of Bim Bam Twa, which is what I do. Just read the Piff Paff blog. It's a internet blog. It is a blog full blog. It's a bloggity blog blog blog. Yeah.
All right. I think Ross now owes us all a round of drinks because we've now created a jingle for him. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah. Put that on loop on your website, just constantly, like hamster dance.
Yeah.
Just, oh, God. Yeah.
We want residuals. Make that happen. It'll be sampled more than the Amen break.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we mentioned in our opening, we were in a magazine, folks.
Fully clothed, for the record.
We needed the money.
I was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
I feel like if you have seen any pictures of us, the picture that they have used in the magazine is not misleading.
A great, great caption to that picture, by the way.
Oh,
I see.
Minnesota's finest exports since Rose Nyland.
That's
yeah.
right.
So yeah, we are in.
They love the Golden Girls over there in the UK.
Oh, everybody loves
it. I mean, they love it everywhere, but I didn't know that was a big one.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, when people think of Minnesota, that's one of the big ones. But yeah, we are in the summer 2021 issue of Vision Magazine, which is the official magazine of the OGAE's UK chapter. We are so, so grateful that they actually reached out to us. Jamie, their editor-in-chief, actually had a wonderful chat with him a couple months ago, and so, so cool to see, like, our visages, and they're talking about us. And if you are getting to know our podcast because you read about us in Vision, welcome.
We're very sorry.
Good luck.
Yeah. And if you're getting to know Vision on account of our podcast, just look for the blue James Newman with the luscious lips.
Yeah.
They are looking rather...
Little kissing lips, yeah.
Little kissing lips.
That beard can't hide it.
Nope. But yeah, that was really fun. We're very, very grateful. Thank you so much to Jamie and the folks over at Vision for having us featured in their little article about cool Eurovision podcast.
Doos Pods is where it is.
Yeah. It was such a fun interview to do. I felt like we really were bringing our A game to that, and I think it shows in the write-up on us, which is awesome.
Which is ironic because we really only bring our B and C game to the podcast itself.
That's right. Yeah.
Welcome to the level two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's off season. What do you want from us?
Yeah.
In Eurovision 2022 news, there's...
Yes.
There's a few things.
Mm-hmm. A few hints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The head of delegation for Armenia has made it look like...
That they're coming back.
They'll be back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're head of delegation is a member of the reference group. So we know he's already connected. It's not like this most recent absence was going to be a long-term thing. It was some significant issues were going on mm-hmm. on the ground mm-hmm. in Armenia.
Yeah.
And we totally respect the decision to sit this one out. But you know, they're still very much involved with what's going on. So I think it's pretty likely that we're going to see them in Italy next year.
Good. I'm still dying for, you know, the 44 country Eurovision.
Well,
I
think we may be stuck on 40 for next year. Mm-hmm. Everything this year plus Armenia, it does not look great for really any of the other countries to come back.
Yeah.
Montenegro, we haven't heard anything, but...
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I can imagine Belarus is still in the process of taking their ball and going home.
Those smaller countries, I always think, for the smaller countries where it's an issue of money, those are the ones where I just don't think it's going to happen this next year.
Yeah, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, unfortunately.
Lord knows the pandemic didn't do any great things for... Well, maybe for TV stations of all businesses, but I don't think for them.
But keep in mind, these are also national public broadcasters.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like they're commercial networks like what we have here.
And I mean, the other one, the one that we certainly miss, but I think we will not be seeing back anytime soon, unfortunately, is Hungary. Mm-hmm. Hungary has passed a pretty crappy law that basically stuff can't be gay anymore. And Eurovision
rules out Eurovision.
Yes. It just seems, and it seemed like the sentiment towards Eurovision from the national broadcaster level was kind of, this goes against quote unquote our values anyway. But now that it's like codified,
at the same time though, Russia's still in it.
Russia is still in it
because their pride is more important.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like Russia winning and still has a legitimate shot every year of coming close.
Yeah, there is a level of sort of soft diplomacy that comes in through a cultural event like Eurovision. And I guess for Hungary, it's just not worth them compromising their quote-unquote values.
Right.
Hungary never had a little big...
I mean, if Hungary was coming like near top five or near top five every year, they might feel a little different.
And they've had some great songs over the years. Yeah. Like, listen back to our episode that we did a couple, well, about probably about a year and a half ago at this point.
Yeah, would have been, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When, actually, probably a little bit more, because it was after they bowed out. So that would have been for the 2020 event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of the great songs that they've had over the years. But,
even Scream isn't half bad, honestly. I go back to Scream a couple of times.
That's Russia.
I thought we were talking about Russia.
No, we're talking about Hungary.
Sometimes I go back to Scream, and I think, was that song written about Hungary?
Just commit.
Yes. Yep. Leaving it all in. Scream, by which we mean Aveyesh. But yeah, as long as Orban is there, I don't think we're going to see Hungary, and I think we're at a point where, as long as... What's Belarus guy's name?
Lukashenko.
Vuklenko, yeah. But that's...
No. Yuri Vuklenko was Lithuanian.
Pachinko?
Yeah.
That's Japanese pinball.
Yeah, well, as long as Pachinko is there, I don't think we're going to get Belarus back either. So yeah, I think probably everyone from last year will get Armenia back. That's an even 40.
It's a good number.
But
I can't see those countries. Those countries that had dropped out when it was in Tel Aviv, I can't see them dropping out for any other reason. They're still going to stay. You know, Bulgaria is still going to be there.
Yeah. It isn't even 40. However, because there are only five automatic qualifiers, we do have an uneven count in the two semifinals still. So we need one country to come back. There has been talk about another one. We're actually going to talk about that in our next episode. So we're not going to get too much into talking Turkey, let's say, about something in next week's show. So watch that. Watch out for that in next week's show.
Good job, Eric. Keep them wanting more.
That's yeah, right.
We're going to keep them on the edge of their Anatolia.
What?
Wow.
I was... could have told you not to make that joke.
It was Asia Minor infraction.
I stand.
Batman.
All right. So yes, so throw forward to our next episode when we might be talking about a country that I'm sure we haven't dropped any hints about what we're going to be discussing at all.
You know, my favorite show from the 80s was Who's the Bosporus? Anyway, Malta is doing their X Factor thing again.
Yay, that's cool.
We'll have a not exactly an internal selection, but not exactly a national final.
No, they are going to be doing a full-on national final, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're going to be returning to Malta Song. Because, I mean, they can only have the well-known artists, you know. Destiny can't win X Factor again. Let's put it that way.
Well,
I'm sure they could.
She could.
If she wants to come back,
I'd let her.
Put a fake nose on her. Her name is now...
Destino.
Destino?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Destino. I got a real soulful voice.
Something you've never heard before.
Yeah.
I'll fix your plumbing. Sing your song.
Yeah. What you got? The issue with the...
Yeah.
With your car or something?
Reasonable rates in all of Valletta.
Mm-hmm.
The return to the Maltese Euro song I think will definitely be fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll change up their sponsors, because if I see another commercial for Vodafone and Crosscraft and Mediterranean Bank, I might go crazy. But part of me also kind of missed that. I could have answered those ads when we're talking about the things that I missed.
Crappy Maltese TV. That's what I miss.
50% ads.
You know.
It's not even different ads. It's the same commercial every single break.
You know, it's not a big country. They only have
three companies. It's weird.
Do you need something? Go to the store.
Vodafone sells burgers, too. It's weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Their chips are amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, da, 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 I'm sorry. Da, da. Let's never speak
about it. I had a few other announcements just about countries being back officially. No big surprises here, but Australia made their announcement. They're going to be back.
That's nice to hear, honestly.
Yeah.
I was a little worried.
Because they didn't qualify, you think?
They did badly, though.
Well, no, I know.
I was honestly more concerned about just who knows what the travel restrictions in Australia are going to be like this time next year.
A year from now?
Who knows?
Yeah, would they be able to compete if they can't go?
Or
the vaccination rate is incredibly low.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I would also think that this would be a decent opportunity for them to, if they had to have those travel restrictions, maybe pick an Australian in diaspora. I know that, Eric, you have been kind of keeping your fingers quietly crossed for a return from the guy from Savage Garden.
Oh, Darren Hayes.
There it is, Darren Hayes. If only, but, you know. A girl.
Sure, yeah.
Is it Olivia Newton-John living in Hollywood?
I think she's in the UK.
Oh, good.
But, Silverchair reunion.
Ooh. What are they up to?
They broke up.
Yeah, they broke up.
Like 10 years ago.
I mean, like, what are they individually doing? If you're a member of Silverchair, reach out to
us. Yeah, let us know. Be a friend of the show. Yeah.
You're listening in the UK and you were in Silverchair. Please let us know.
Maybe a lot of kids listen to Frog Stomping.
It was a good album.
Frog Stomp.
It was just Frog Stomp.
Yeah, just Frog Stomp.
It wasn't the Gerund.
Sorry, it's been 25 years.
Right. Frog Stomping is the, like, I get frogged down, but I get up again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
thinking Tumblewumba.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Oh, I love you guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if you still do after we get to our main topic of the day, which was that we had Eurovision again.
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 Yeah.
For the first time.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Feels like the first time, right? So they picked 1969. Nice. And this one is really notable, I think, for mostly the one thing, which is how it ended.
Yes. Spoiler alert if you haven't already seen it. But, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know. It was a four-way tie because they didn't think that could happen
with so few points.
it is so crazy to me that they had been doing Eurovision for about a dozen years at this point, and effectively there was never a long discussion after somebody said, hang on, what if there's a tie? And I understand somebody pointed this out to us on Twitter. There was a rule in that about if there was a tie, which was you share the win. But they had never considered, what if there's a four-way tie? which is what we got, which is why there are four winners. Right. That's the part that really messes up the Statmotron, honestly, is having multiple winners.
And if you can't remember who those winners were, they were the host nation, Spain, with Vivo Cantando by Salome, the human car wash.
Mm-hmm.
Boom Bang Bang by Lulu for the UK. Lenny Coeur with De Troubadour for the Netherlands. And Frida Bocara with Un Jour, Un Enfant for France. Mm-hmm.
Lenny Coeur, the mother of Lenny Coeur Rabbits, I believe. Moving along, we have... I also want to note, 6 automatic qualifiers in the 2021 Eurovision Song Contest, mm-hmm. 4 of them won the 1969 Eurovision.
Take that's that, wild. Germany.
Yeah. I will say this. As we were getting to the end there when I was watching it, even though I knew how it was going to end, I was still in suspense for how it was going to happen. Because the tie pretty much only occurs because of a couple of countries dumping a lot of points onto a few of the four-way winners. Now, am I remembering correctly that, like, Italy's votes went to, like, only 3 countries? Only 2 countries? Yeah.
Yeah, they
it was
gave...
the UK and was it...
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands, yeah. It's, it wasn't going to happen unless it was them. And at the end, is that right?
No, they were sort of in the middle.
Oh, okay.
What really messed things up was the fact that France gave 6 points to the Netherlands, and that's like the largest lumps. I mean, honestly, the scoring system for this year was screwy to begin with.
Well, it was crazy because at the beginning, they show you how the voting's supposed to go. Because there's like 2 points, 1 point, 1 point, ooh, 3 points, 1 point, 1 point. It was great because at the beginning, the audience is like, oh, 3 points, they gave 3 points. Mm-hmm. Not ready for like, I'm going to give you 6 points.
Yep. Basically, each country had 10 points to give out. And technically, they could do that however they wanted. They did this for a few years. And generally speaking, yeah, they're, you know, if you got three, that's really good. If you got a four, that's awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
I want to say 1 year, somebody got like an eight from a country or something like that. It wasn't in this year, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that was, I believe, the most. That might have been a slightly different system as well. But yeah, the Netherlands got 6 points from France, which was third from the end because they went in running order.
Yeah,
order.
That's it.
So yeah, they jumped out of nowhere to get caught up. The UK got a couple of points from the last two acts to mm-hmm. get to 18. Spain got 2 points from Portugal, second to last, to get to 18. France got 2 points from Portugal in the second to last vote to also get to 18. So yeah, this was.
So when Finland gets the call up, you know, and who's the host? Because she was also excellent, by the way.
Yeah, the host was Laurita Valenzuela, who really, really held it together. One. Mm-hmm.
I love when she goes, you know, Helsinki, are you there? And Helsinki is on the phone, absolutely no clue. what their vote can mean.
They don't know what's about to happen. I do want to make a quick correction. Italy gave points to three countries.
Okay.
They gave three to the UK, three to the Netherlands, and four to Monaco.
That's right. Monaco?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was just a beautiful mess of a chaos of a...
Also, that damn board... They had to, like, ask the people to read the points off again because the board wasn't working right. Mm-hmm. Franco's board. Franco himself programmed the big board.
Mm-hmm. And by program, put slaves behind it. Problem on the cards.
Too soon?
Too soon? He was terrible. You're going to defend Franco?
Oh, no, please. The memory of the Generalissimo, please.
No, I've been to Valley of the Fallen, and I was highly, highly uncomfortable. Trust me, I know.
All right.
Ew. Anyway, I mean, regardless...
Never in Spain, check out the Valley of the Fallen.
I think they moved him.
They moved the valley.
No, they moved him. He was in the valley. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, 1969 was a pretty interesting year, but yeah, like you said, the four-way tie...
Mm-hmm. It only makes sense that eventually they would have brought this one out for Eurovision again, because this is one of the must-see years because of the four-way tie. But it also makes sense because we had the singer for the Netherlands performing.
Lenny Kaur, yeah.
During this last Eurovision. Mm-hmm. So that only made sense to me. I was like, oh, okay, this is the year that De Troubadour was one of the winners.
Yeah. And she actually had an interview that came out around the same time, I think, like within a few hours. With Eurovision.tv, so very cool to see how great she's doing. Like she won when she was only about 18 years old.
Yeah,
and
really?
she's still kicking butt today.
In this contest, it seemed like everyone was 17 years old. Either they were 17 years old or they were Spain.
Well, I mean, that's
what it felt like.
The literal kid from Monaco was 13.
Oh my god!
Came in sixth position. So yeah, with mama. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, Monaco's entry in junior year.
By the way, can we ban people from singing about their mothers? It just seems like it's always creepy.
I understand. This doesn't translate well. Like, spoken out loud. But I'm with you. Like, they're just, you know, singing about... Especially when it's mama, which is not just mom, but it's mommy. Like, mommy, sing my Eurovision song about mommy. It's like singing about daddy, which is creepy in a similar but different way.
Well.
No more songs about your parents. No one's allowed to acknowledge that they had parents. Everyone sprung up from the ground like a mandrake. Those are the rules going forward.
So, 12 points for America. We have three rules. No moms, no dads, no clowns.
Yes, right. Well, yeah, one of these is more important than the other.
Eurovision, again, has taught us.
No clowns.
Other really interesting names that kind of come up with this. I have to give a shout out to Sweden's entrant, Tommy Sjöberg, who, you know, did Eurovision twice for Sweden, which is cool enough as is. Those of us who are interested in musical theater might know him also best as the originator of the role as Anatoly or the Russian in the musical Chess.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So it's always very cool to see, you know, somebody kicking butt outside of the Eurovision sphere, especially when it's, you know, to musical theater geeks like me.
I need to shout out this interesting local artist that they tapped named Salvador Dali. Because Salvador Dali...
Oh, the Chupa Chups guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Dali wasn't up to much, so they had him do some publicity material. He did a poster, and the poster is terrifying. have you seen the poster? Have you seen...
I'm trying to recall. Is this, like, would have just been, like, splashed on screen right when the broadcast was starting?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't recall, but I probably gave it a couple of chuckles. Let me see. I see. Yes, this remembers.
It's an eyeball.
The gobstopper inside of lips that is also the planet and also a clock.
Mm-hmm. It's an eyeball made of lips and time.
Yeah.
That's Salvador Dali, baby.
What was not to be confused with Gene Newman's lips.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which are timeless.
James Newman's little princess lips gonna become a recurring gag on this show.
Yes. I think so. I think so. Well, anyway, yeah, Dali did some promotional stuff for Eurovision, which is hilarious and amazing. And am I correct that despite it being exactly the sort of thing he would do, he had nothing to do with the Interval Act?
I am not exactly sure. It wouldn't surprise me if he had somehow an influence. But I'm not seeing any direct knowledge that he had anything to do officially with the La España Diferente film, which was supposedly honoring the four elements of earth, water, wind, and fuego. But I was genuinely unsettled by that.
It's like an Italian horror film.
Yeah.
Lucio Fulci directed it.
It feels like this should have played like about 10 minutes into the Japanese horror movie House.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one. You know, just to add a couple more sparkly lights and a cat, and that could have been straight out of it.
I suddenly want to see Lucio Fulci's Eurovision. Is he still alive? Could he produce 2022?
I think he's dead. I was watching City of the Dead the other day and I checked.
I see.
I'm prepping for Italy 2022 by watching Italian horror films.
Oh, sure. I see. Oh, yeah. He died in 96, looks like. He was way older than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
is he older?
Dario Argento still alive?
Oh, really?
That's true.
Mm. He's good with color.
That's one way of putting it.
Could bring his daughter in too. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Any other songs that we wanted to kind of individually shout out before we give our own personal top threes and maybe come up with some sort of a 12 Points from America winner?
No. This song has old styles, even older than when we revisited 1975.
It's funny because it was, you know, before then.
So yes,
that's how time generally counts.
You could say it was almost as if it was 6 years
before. Well, it's one thing to compare the songs from this contest, which is only 6 years before 1975, and say the songs from 6 years ago in Eurovision, like, currently, and I'm not sure there's that
big... Oh my
big,
God, that's there,
I'm
heroes.
Not sure there's that huge of a style difference, but this one seemed... And I feel like this... I'm going to be using this... this simile as we go through all of these songs, but so many of the entrants this year sounded like British music hall music, which is a pop style that I thought was weird to keep hearing in all of these songs from across Europe. Not just, it's weird because Boom Bang A Bang, it's barely, but...
I mean, I'm not sure what was popular in each one of these countries at the time. I mean, there's also the knowledge that at that point, bands were not allowed. I think 1974 was really the first.
They had to be orchestrated,
Well, I mean, not only that, but they had to be either solo artists or duets. You couldn't really have, you know, you wouldn't have had Ave Esch.
Yeah.
for many reasons,
You had to be a songster.
Yeah basically. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, honestly, at this point, dancing was even sort of limited. The fact that you had Salome kind of dancing was sort of almost breaking the rules at the time.
There had been some
you
talk.
Call that dancing? Sorry.
You know, if you were wearing like 87,000 pounds of
a fringe,
that's about all the dancing you'd be able to do too.
There had been some talk on Twitter as this was airing that there had been a rule against dancing, and I haven't found anything that concretely said that. It was maybe sort of an unwritten
rule. Maybe, maybe.
Like swinging on 3-0.
Never going to give that up.
No, never going to let it down either.
Oh, God. I hate you.
I'm so sorry.
I hate you both so much.
You opened the door. Or you had a 3-0 count. I just swung.
And you swung. That's it. Yeah,
anyway. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk. Let's talk faves. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I feel like my choices will not be very controversial. We're just doing top threes here, so I don't know. We don't really have to, a lot of math to do. My third favorite is actually Finland. They went last. They were good. Finland's also fits into this music hall mode, but I just liked them better than the rest of those. It just sounded like oom-pa-pa music half the time when these people were singing. Lord knows it definitely wasn't going to go to Belgium.
Yikes. What do you have against Louis Neefs?
I said this before we started recording, but he just performed odd. Not bad, not terrible, but just looking at him, I was like, what is going on here? I can follow the song. This is a song, clearly, he's singing. I can tell what music is. I've heard it before. But he's just, like, seemed like an alien. I don't know.
He's just Belgian.
Oh, but what was that song? Jennifer Jeans? Or
Jennifer Jennings.
Jennifer Jennings Arena.
That's a... Yes. It's just weird to also hear him singing in... Was it Flemish or was it...
Dutch.
It was Dutch. But just to hear, you know, Jennifer Jennings occasionally. Gorgeous.
All right, so that's your number three.
That is my number three. Yeah. My number two and my number one probably won't surprise either the people at this table or people listening out there. Number two is the Netherlands. Number one is the UK. You know, De Troubadour, fantastic. And then Boom Bang A Bang is the only song that I completely enjoyed listening to. I know that'll be probably sacrilege against poor Lenny.
What?
All right. I'm gonna toss mine out. It's no secret to anybody listening to the show that I'm very much a Portugal stan, and they get my third place with this.
Mm-hmm.
Simão de Oliveira, Desfolhada Portuguesa. It's really become sort of an evergreen. Simão is an absolute diva, and I really, really loved it. I found myself really getting engrossed by it by the end. And the fact that it came in 15th place out of 16 is
thank God for Norway.
Oi, 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 so glad ye shall be.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was cute.
Was Norway
the one that just kind of seemed like the choir from a Catholic school got waylaid and Eurovision needed someone to sing for them?
Oi, 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 so glad ye shall be.
But they were like dressed in these weird, like they looked like they were from Madeline. Like...
I think it was just, she was just wearing something Norwegian.
Okay.
It was cute. But anyway, Portugal, my third place, Simão de Oliveira. Second place I give to the Netherlands, Lenny Coeur, the Troubadour. I think it's beautiful, it's timeless, it has that sort of singer-songwritery vibe. Like, if you had picked her up and placed her next to Joan Baez...
I was going to say, this song feels very of the times, and she also has the look of the times,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. And I thought that this was a perfect little time capsule. My first place, I'm going to give to France. Un jour, un enfant by Frida Baccara. It just... It was so evocative. I'm a sucker for a good chanson. And the way that it built and just evolved, and it sounded to me the way that like a rising sun feels, like that sort of just like it's that sort of growth, and then it just ends in this sort of calm, and it just felt very evocative to me.
The reverse of Voila.
I don't know what it is, but I have a soft spot for, I think it's, I always mess up the order, Un Banc, Un Arbre, Un Rue.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the titles are the same, it is also French, and it is also a winner. For some reason, because I like that song so much, I sort of look at this one and go, it's the,
well,
you know,
this one,
it's
only
the Billy Baldwin of the group.
Well, this one only has two items in the title.
I am aware,
the
yes.
The Monogaff song had three, so
yeah,
I get it.
It's 50% better.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was not this year. So, anyway. Derek.
Really struggling with this one. Because there's like three of them that I wish I could pick.
Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to go with Portugal as well. Very evocative, very beautiful. I As soon as it came on, I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe it took these guys so long to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we watched a couple of Eurovision Agains where I was like, wow, this Portuguese song is really good.
They age really, really well.
Yes.
Like port, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
And
what are these other two that you're like, glossing over to not?
75? Talk about that one.
Oh, no, I meant the other two songs that you're leaving out of your top then.
Oh,
like, what are your 4 and 5?
Out. Well, let me get my 2 and 1 then.
Oh, okay.
My number 2 is France.
Mm-hmm.
Really beautiful. Loved it. A Day, a Child. I remember
a
when they...
child.
A child. This day, song has everything.
A day, a child.
A bank, a tree, a street.
A troubadour. Number 1, Netherlands. Excellent song when she pulls the guitar out. It was so strange when they did the reprise with all 4 songs. And I'm like, what is Spain and the UK doing up there? No offense. But France and the Netherlands sounded so good. Especially the second time, I was like, wow, these guys are amazing. A couple of songs that I wish I could have picked. I really liked Italy. I thought they were fantastic.
Class, yeah.
And, oh, there was one other one I'm spacing on.
Was it Belgium?
Was it Yugoslavia?
Wasn't Yugoslavia.
Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to one of my honorable mentions.
Oh, sure. I would say Italy would have been my number 4. I thought it was quite good.
Ireland would have been my number 4. The Wages of Love, I thought, was a perfect little
swinging. They performed so early.
Swinging 60s number.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. Yeah.
That was the one song I didn't like.
Really?
I didn't like it too much either.
I was like maybe halfway into it. I'm like, is this going to be over soon? That was the only
one. That one felt very factory made to me.
Yeah.
That one felt very sort of, this would be one that the kids were listening to on the headphones in the record shop, and they would just track forward.
It was very much of its time, and I appreciated that. Anyway, Eric.
Yeah, everything I'm going to say has already come up, but I think third place I would give to the UK. It's a classic, just is. Second place I would give to Italy. It really is pure class.
Mm.
It's just gorgeous, and the title, Due Grosse Lacrime Bianche, which means 2 crying white eyes, which was a very appropriate song to have when this aired on Juneteenth. And moving on.
It's no Christmas donkey.
That's right. Number 1, it's the troubadour.
Yeah.
It's Lenny, it's the Netherlands. This is clearly our winner.
Two crying white eyes sounds like a Giallo film.
I mean, yeah. I think it's 2 big white tears, but same difference.
Wait, what did I say?
2 crying
white
eyes.
But
oh.
We're close.
Yes, yeah. If whatever.
That's right, yeah.
My town is not that great yet, but anyway.
Yeah.
Netherlands takes it, I think, from the 4 of us. Interestingly enough, what would happen if there was a tie today? I think there was a big question that kind of came up. And I did look.
Fight to the death.
Depends on which countries they are. Because if they border each other, I feel like that's an easy fix. Or if they share a language, I feel like that's an easy fix. You know, like...
Where are you going?
Where's this going?
This is my thing. Is like, actually, the more that I think about that, I was like, well, what comes to mind immediately is like if France and Italy tied and they just have it in Switzerland. And I'd go, this last year, that's hilarious. And also, they would go to war over hosting Eurovision if it was those 2 countries. But if it was like France and Belgium, I feel like if it's a city that's sort of in the south of Belgium, so like French speaking, I feel like that might be close, even though those 2 nations aren't really necessarily buddies. And sure,
put
if it's between the UK and Ireland, just host it in Belfast. No one will be angry there.
I was more going with the actual tie break procedure, but I like the way your brain goes.
Yes.
Please don't go to Belfast.
Our apologies to all of our listeners in Belfast.
That's right. I say do go to Belfast.
What would be the tiebreak procedure? All right.
So nowadays, and this is implemented in 2016, so the countback procedure, if 2 or more countries tie, the song that receives more points from the televote would be the winner, because now we have, you know, the jury vote and the televote split.
But there was no televote.
If the song received the same number of televote points, the song that received at least 1 televote point from the greatest number of countries would be the winner.
I see.
If there's still a tie, the next tiebreaker counts the number of countries who assigned 12 points, then 10, 8, until the tie is finally broken. If it can't be resolved after all of that, the song performed earlier in the running order.
Are you kidding?
Is declared the winner.
Why couldn't it have just been like
15 other criteria?
Yeah.
At that point, it's just a Texas cage match.
At some point, you have to have something that can't be a tie. And running order is that. Now,
So 1969's winner, if we had today's system, France and Spain both got points from 9 countries.
Mm-hmm.
However, France received 2 4-point scores, which was higher than anything that Spain got.
When I was thinking about this, I was like, it's probably France then.
Which means France would have made them the winner.
Sure. I can live with France being the winner here.
Yeah.
The only other time that we've had a tie for first place would have been the 1991 contest. Allora.
Oh, a beautiful disaster.
It really was.
Just wait till next year. Ooh-ah.
Mr. Nev! So, yeah, but interestingly enough, using today's system, we would have been, you know, we know that there was a tie at the top between Sweden and France.
Mm-hmm.
France would have also won in 1991 if today's countback system was in place.
Mm-hmm.
18 countries voted for France, over 17 countries voting for Sweden.
Oh!
So what we've learned is that all tiebreakers favor France.
Yes, yeah, even honestly, if they're not involved. Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you, France.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yep.
The tiebreak system that's in place today obviously hasn't come up to determine a winner, but and for a long time that was
because the
only
televote is so sprawling now.
Right.
No way there can be a tie.
Yeah.
Well,
I say right now.
Why would you do this
in the year of our Lord 2021?
Why would you do this, sir? For a long time, the tiebreak procedure was really only there to break first place ties or to determine a qualifier. So like a tie for 10th in the semis. Now they do break it down completely. They'll break all ties just for placement purposes. And it happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It happened this year. There was a tie for 10th place between Pants Dance from Greece and Growing Up is Getting Old from Bulgaria.
Wearing pants is getting old. That's the lesson we should learn.
Yeah, I'll say. Greece had a higher televote score than Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. So Greece, top 10 finisher. Bulgaria, top 11 finisher, which is fine.
Yeah. Still pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is a fun show.
Yeah.
It really, really, and it was so cool to see something so old. This is the oldest of the Eurovisions, again, that we have seen.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I think the EBU hopefully will dive into the archives and give us some of these golden oldies that for a lot of newer fans, they might not necessarily know a lot of this history. So cool to bring it back.
My hope is that the interest in this somehow causes a 56 to turn up.
Yeah, or the, I think it was 63 that's also missing, the Copenhagen hosted event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. There's one that is. Yeah.
The Danes.
is it completely lost or is it?
There are a few clips of Giuliola's reprise of Non ho l'età.
Mm.
But that's about it.
It's going to be the same thing they did when they found that copy of Metropolis. Like, it's going to be in a janitor's closet in an insane asylum.
Next to a couple old episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The KTMA Mystery Science Theater episodes that were thought to be gone. And they turned up.
Where did those turn up?
I don't remember.
Crawl space above a women's bathroom. I don't know.
Like, yeah. It's probably something like that. But like
next to the Snyder Cut.
It's
that's when I got it. It was supposed to be hidden forever.
The Snyder Cut of Eurovision?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, it's long enough. The Snyder Cut of Eurovision is 6 hours long.
Oh God. And honestly, I think this episode is nearing that point as well.
Oh,
shall
yeah,
we? Or is there anything else that we wanted to cover about the 1969 episode?
I don't think so.
Don't know if we want to include this, but I'm sort of curious. How did they come down on the Amsterdam as the host country next, or host city next year?
People just liked them better.
Kind of making them the unofficial winner.
Because they looked into the future and said, well, the 12 points says that the Netherlands is the best one, and so we shall hold it in Amsterdam.
Lenny pulled out a gun.
She pulled out a guitar. And a gun.
Her guitar folded out into a gun and she pointed at everyone and goes, it's in Amsterdam!
I will say that the following year was very interesting because we went down from 16 entrants to only 12 because a bunch of countries were really ticked off at how 1969 worked out. But because of that, the producers had to pad out the timing of the show. And that, my friends, is where we get postcards.
Oh.
It was, yeah, there wasn't necessarily big props that they had to wheel out. They were basically just put in there to fill for time, more or less. So yeah, a big major tradition was created because of somebody planning poorly. But as for why the Netherlands actually hosted it, Spain had hosted it in 69. Mm-hmm. UK had hosted it in 68. So really only France and the Netherlands are really in discussion.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And according to Wikipedia, a drawing of ballots between these two countries resulted in the Netherlands being picked.
Oh, between okay. France and the Netherlands.
Yeah. Again, I'm using Wikipedia as a...
verified journalistic source.
Yeah, but they are citing the EBU itself, so I'm going with that.
Can live with that.
That works for me.
I'm going to say this. It would be an absolute nightmare, but what I would give for them to bring back, if it were properly functioning, the flip-style board.
Oh, 100%.
Like, the flip-style board is so... It's so cool. It's so mechanical. I love the way that it looks. Like when you go to like a old train station, like all the destinations reorder.
Oh, they have that at Frankfurt Airport. Love it's amazing.
That.
The sound of just the.
They just stand there and watch it.
There's still one of those at the Philadelphia train station, and it's amazing.
It's lovely for them to, you know, since we're dealing with hundreds of points these days, for the points to just show up digitally, and then for like the board to shift to the side. That's all very well and good, but what I wouldn't give. To just be like, and from the televote, Italy, you receive 6,000 points. Then we just have to wait for the cards to keep flipping.
They just introduce the next country while they're still flipping. And they'd be like, how many points? What?
I'm just imagining the ASMR that would come out of that.
The host just stands next to it for the cooling.
Ooh.
For the fan.
It gets hot in Italy in May, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it does.
Oh.
All right. Well, we do have... Another episode coming next week for all you listeners.
Next week or 2 weeks?
Oh, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Our next episode, whenever we decide to put it out.
Yeah.
There's no way to know.
It might be right behind you right now. It's not. But yeah, but until next time, I suppose. I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
In America.
Stop listening now.